A modern-day saint, a visionary leader, a lady with the light of Christ in her eyes. Those are just three of the tributes that have been paid to the 88-year-old founder of the Focolare movement, Chiara Lubich, who died on March 14th at her organisation's headquarters just outside Rome. Originally from the northern city of Trento, Silvia Lubich, to use her real name, was just 19 when she first heard Christ calling her to a life of service, and so she joined the Third Order Franciscans, taking the name Chiara, after St. Clare of Assisi. A few years later, at the height of the Second World War, she once again felt God calling her to dedicate herself to him. And so in December 1943, she made a vow of chastity and began working to support those left destitute by the aerial bombing of the city. Soon other young women joined her, and together they formed the first Focolare, or hearth, where all received the same warm and loving welcome. After the war, the movement grew, and while some were distinctly wary of this determined young woman, Chiara was received and encouraged by all the popes of the past half century, starting with Pope Pius XII in 1954. As Focolare centres sprang up in countries around the world, men, including priests, bishops and even cardinals, joined the movement, though Chiara requested that future presidents of the Work of Mary, as the organisation is officially known, should always be a woman. Today, the movement has over 2 million supporters, while around 20,000 priests and deacons follow the Focolare rule. Special groups have also been set up to work with young people, children and family ministry. But just what was it that made Chiara such an inspirational leader to young and old alike?
It's curious, isn't it? Here is a woman who took her own vow of celibacy and really became a great mother figure and a grandmother figure to so many people.
Bishop John Arnold is Auxiliary of Westminster in the United Kingdom.
Well, I think it was the simplicity. It was the return to the fundamental truths of the gospel, that it was a spirituality that didn't look in on itself at all, but really from her first days, as far as I'm aware, she was beginning to look to wherever she might sow the seed of the gospel, and that became a bit more formalized when they began the work with the Lutheran Church and the rest of it. But certainly she never seemed to close the door on anybody or any possibility where the gospel seed could be sown. And I think it was that very simplicity that didn't get caught up in bureaucracy and rules and regulations and constitutions. I see the constitutions weren't approved until, formally approved, till 1990. Just working away quietly and according to good sense.
Although she did come into a certain amount of difficulty with the church hierarchy, didn't she? Not everybody was quite sure what to make of this extraordinarily determined woman.
Yeah, well, I think this is a challenge that faces the church very often, isn't it? That we deal with the newness of something sometimes by being a little bit suspicious about what it might be and where it's going. But as with so many things in the church, time is a way in which we become familiar and we see the value of something, and you see something by its fruits, don't you? And certainly Focolare has grown, and the generosity and the kindness and the warmth of their communities is bound to be something that brings in new members and new interest.
What do you think she will be most remembered for?
I would think it would probably be her gentle but insistent way of bringing people back to a focus on what we can achieve with the simplicity of the gospel message.
Reactions to Chiara Lubich's death have also flooded in from leaders of other Christian churches and other faiths as they acknowledge her tireless work for unity amongst all people. Representatives of most of the world's major religions were crowded into the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls for her funeral, led by Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, Vatican Secretary of State. Amongst those paying tribute to her ecumenical vision was the Archbishop of Canterbury and head of the Worldwide Anglican Communion, Dr. Rowan Williams.
Chiara Lubich was one of the great figures of the modern church, and one of those figures who belongs not just to her own Roman Catholic Communion, but to all those who were concerned, as she was, for the renewal of all Christian believers. She set a new tone and a new agenda for the community life of many, many Christians. Her writings and teachings gave inspiration to probably hundreds of thousands, if not more. And we lament her passing with very deep feeling. She was somebody I had the privilege of meeting, and I've had very fruitful contact with the Focolare movement over many, many years, who have been kind and supportive and inspirational to me in my own ministry. So my heart goes out to them as they mourn Chiara's passing. I think we've seen in her one of the great lights of the present Christian generation.
In 2002, Chiara Lubich went to the Geneva-based World Council of Churches, which brings together nearly 350 Protestant, Orthodox, Reformed and Independent churches and organisations. It was a meeting which had lasting impact on the work of the Council. Reverend Dr. Martin Robra directs the WCC's ecumenical programme.
Of course, Chiara has a charisma that radiates, a strong personality that is so convincing to everybody who is listening to her. She stands for what she says. She acts what she says, and so does the Focolare movement. It's a way of life. It's the spirituality that is lived out in community, and this was so convincing to us. And also her strong focus on the spirituality of unity, of course. The World Council of Churches was very much interested in a spiritual grounding of ecumenism. And therefore, we were reaching out to her to come to Geneva to tell us more about the spirituality of unity.
And so in what way do you think this legacy can be carried on, particularly within the ecumenical movement?
I mean, our General Secretary said in his tribute to Chiara that she was a flame of love that began to shine in the midst of the ashes and destruction of the war in 1943 in Trento. But that this charisma lives on in the Focolare movement. We will continue our cooperation with the Focolare movement that was strengthened after her visit to Geneva. We had a very good cooperation, especially on the economy of communion, one of the features she strengthened within the Focolare movement. We also developed some cooperation on the politics of fraternity. And definitely the main focus, of course, is on spirituality. So we are in constant discussion with each other and can build on the relationship that has developed in the past.
I became involved with the Focolare movement towards the end of the 1990s when Archbishop George Carey asked me to be one of the Anglican bishops who would look after Anglican members of the Focolare movement.
Bishop John Flack is former director of the Anglican Centre here in Rome and a follower of the Focolare movement back in the Diocese of Peterborough, where he serves as assistant bishop.
Chiara Lubich's vision back in 1944 was the unity of the whole human race, and so from the start that involved an ecumenical approach. And from its earliest beginnings, the Focolare movement welcomed membership from non-Roman Catholic Christians. And of course, back in the 1940s and 50s, this was quite revolutionary.
What would you say then does her movement mean today, perhaps, in terms of the broader ecumenical journey?
Its place in the ecumenical movement is very much along the lines of, at every level, the Focolare movement prays for church unity, prays for the gift of unity which comes from God alone. It doesn't put on commissions which have theological discussions about the difficulties of ecumenism. Rather, it draws human beings together in prayer and friendship in order to create ecumenical friendships at a profound level which can drive the movement forward.
And do you have any idea what kind of membership the Focolare movement has within the Anglican world?
That would be very difficult to say, Philippa. The Focolare exists on certainly on three levels. One level of the Focolarini is monastic in the sense that people are celibate and follow a rule of life, though they commonly have jobs in the world rather than live as a monastic community, and they don't wear habits. But there is that level of the celibate life at the top of the pyramid. Then there are those who are ordained, many of them bishops, who follow the Focolare rule in their own lives, and I'm one of those. And then there are an awful lot of people who support us in both Roman Catholic and, to a lesser extent, in Anglican parishes.
We talk about her role in the ecumenical movement, but she's also more recently been very focused on interfaith relations too,
yes.
Hasn't she? And this
yes.
is an important part of their work today.
Yes. Chiara's vision began in 1944 when, as a young woman of 24, she watched American, British and German soldiers fighting and killing one another in the streets of her village. And that made her vow that never again would human beings destroy one another, but rather they should work for the unity of the whole human race. And that at first, of course, led her into ecumenism, but later, as you say, into interfaith dialogue. And again, that has made her an uncomfortable figure, often within the Roman Catholic Church. But she has been a person with an enormous vision, and no one has been able to deflect her from that vision, and that will be part of her lasting memorial, the work for the unity of the human race.
Did you meet her yourself?
I did meet her myself on several occasions, because ever since 1999, so for the last 8 years, I have attended the annual consultation for bishops within the Focolare movement. Most of those are Roman Catholic bishops, but there are about 4 or 5 Anglican bishops who attend that conference each year, and a number of German Lutheran bishops.
What sort of effect did she have, do you think? I mean, she was a very ordinary person, wasn't she, in many ways?
She's a very ordinary person in one sense. In another way, she's extraordinary because, as I say, she had a compelling vision which has dominated her life and to which she's really devoted everything. It's not too much to say that Chiara Lubich has been, in many ways, a modern-day saint. And she's been one of a small number of women whose names have been known around the Roman Catholic world, like Mother Teresa. Chiara is very different from Mother Teresa, but she has been a household name within the Roman Catholic Church. And amongst other things, of course, she has raised the profile of women within the Catholic Church.
Every time I met her, it was a matter of having a lot of light and enlightenment into paths that I've been on and finding my way a lot easier after contact with her, any contact with her.
Former colleague here at Vatican Radio and expert in interfaith dialogue, Kitty Wolfe, is a member of the Focolare movement. She explains how Chiara Lubich's ideals of unity and love guided her as they continue to inspire so many searching for meaning in their lives today.
Well, I met the spirituality of the Focolare movement through a very interesting person who was very close to Chiara. And it was at a time that I was quite in crisis with, I was having problems with my own faith in the sense that I was out on the front line with interreligious dialogue, and I was spending a lot of time in India in dialogue with the Hinduism. And I found that these encounters brought me into a lot of confusion, brought me close to radical pluralism. Humanly speaking, I felt like that was a road that made more sense, but in my soul, I was very perturbed by that. So when I met people who were very close to Chiara, who had been in interreligious dialogue themselves for years, but very rooted in the body of Christ, rooted in the love of Christ, and could just stay there without judgment, without superiority to others, but just because of the love amongst themselves and the love to all of humanity, to reach out to our brothers and sisters of other religions and just share in Christ's love, Christ as the God-man who can love all of us. And this really brought me completely out of any crisis anymore of the dualism between superiority of religions and just to be rooted in Christ. And so from there, I just found that there was so much more to discover in the spirituality and have been exploring it ever since.
My thanks there to Kitty Wolfe, a member of the Focolare movement. And earlier you heard Bishop John Flack, former director of the Anglican Centre in Rome, Dr. Martin Robre, director of the World Council of Churches Ecumenical Programme, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, and Bishop John Arnold, Auxiliary Bishop of the Diocese of Westminster.